Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Two down, two balls, two strikes. Pitch. Swing and a miss. He got him. Slider on the outside corner. Ball game over. And the Red Sox lose 2 of 3 in San Francisco. Today, the defense totally let the Red Sox down on a day where they got a ton of big swings. And their first look at Devers in another uniform, they lose 2 of 3 in San Francisco.
High noon, Jones and Keith, WEEI. Not a good weekend for the Red Sox. No good positive way to spin it.
Good Friday, if you count that as a weekend.
I thought when they took the opening game and Devers went 0 for 5 and awesome. Chapman blew him away 102, I'm like, here we go. They're going to win this series.
Yeah, they're never going to lose again.
Devers homered on Saturday. That wasn't great.
No, it wasn't.
Red Sox lose. But then yesterday, they're down early. They start knocking Robbie Ray around a little bit. They take a 4-2 lead. Boom, they blow that. They take a 5-4 lead. Boom, they blow that. Was it 6-5 as well? I'm trying to remember now all the various leads they had.
5-4 was the last
lead. 5-5, and then it got blown away. And so they wind up letting that game get away, which I feel like is a game that got away from them. Series gets away. And I'm not backing off my stance they're better off without Devers. I'm not backing off my stance that they still should be a playoff team and they can still make a run because they've underachieved for literal years now with Devers. I'm ready to try it without the guy who was a selfish teammate, I think, distracting and maybe even dragging the team down on top of it. But while I still believe all those things, I am willing to acknowledge this weekend didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. And if they don't turn it around quickly against the Angels on the end of this road trip, it could snowball on them and get away from them. And so this is a big series coming up because they underwhelmed this weekend.
Definitely. And they had won 4 straight series. So you're like, all right, things are looking up. And one of those series was without Devers. And now you're going head-to-head with them. So it was a huge series, and it feels like a missed opportunity not to at least grab yesterday's game, go out on a high note, now carry that momentum into the next series. So they're currently 1 game over 500. They're a half game behind a couple of teams for the third wild card spot. It's very crowded in there.
Well, that's the problem with the playoffs expanding the last couple of years.
It's everybody's like, in it.
Yeah, you're in the mix with the you're not just a half game out. You're a half game out with two other teams in front of you and teams looming right over your shoulder, and you're just in this big lump of teams.
It's basically the White Sox, A's, and probably Orioles won't make the playoffs. And then everybody else is fighting for all the other spots in the American League. And so the other thing you have to do, overall, top to bottom, you don't have the most talent. And then when your pitching staff is really kind of one guy, or your rotation anyway is really kind of one guy, you can't give up outs in the field or on the bases. And we've been saying this about this team all year long. It felt like there was a time where they'd kind of solved a lot of their defensive issues, and then that has come flying back. Even in some of these games that they win, they're like, oh, you got away with that, or you got away with this one. And then that combination of that and running into outs, you're like, all right, you're not good enough to win that. You can't do that and then be like, all right, we're going to sock a couple of 3-run homers and win the game. It's like, I don't think so.
Well, and without Devers,
that's
too, it's
saying.
Like you're without him, you already didn't have this great margin for error. Yesterday, the defense was so bad.
Yeah.
I blame Duran on that fly ball more so than Eaton. He's the veteran.
Definitely.
He's the outfielder coming in. He's got to call him off and make it known that it's his ball and call Eaton off of it. The Romy Gonzalez play was brutal. I mean, that's a line drive, like kind of a soft line drive, right at him. You have to catch that. The game snowballed on him from there. So, no, I agree. Without Devers, I think they can be better. I disagree with the Twitch chat. I don't think they've waved the white towel on the season and given up. I know a lot of people do. I don't feel that way.
No, I definitely
but your,
don't.
Your margin for error is just even less without Devers. That I'll acknowledge.
Well, they have a month plus to figure this out. And, like, are they going to reinvest in the team? Because I think right now there's a group of fans that are really pissed about the trade and the return. There's a group of fans that are probably like, all right, especially the way the weekend unfolded, screw Devers. Like, let's kind of move on. And then there's probably a group that's saying, let's see what you do in the next month. And if you add to the team, great. I even like the Devers deal more. If you don't, I'm going to hate it even more. And you're going to say, all right, you're just saving money. And you took a team that was, as much as they were up and down and 500, they were in the playoffs the day after you traded Devers. They were a playoff team. And if you replace him with Jordan Hicks, you can't say you're trying to win this year.
No.
You just can't. Now, I'm it's my own naivete. I think they bring in another player that is at least a everyday player and or one of five guys that starts.
They're not going to replace the whole salary. I don't believe that.
With one guy, no. And they probably aren't going to get like a 40 home run guy either, or not that Devers is a 40 home run guy.
I think they're going to add. I do think they're going to add between now and the trade deadline. You can say it's a net loss from Devers to what they're going to add between now and then. But from here forward, I think they're going to add. But not to detour the whole conversation, Keith, The Athletic came out, we said this earlier today, with their top 30 trade targets at the deadline. Jaren Duran is the number one. The number one guy on the list. So if they look,
it's not the end of the world if they trade him, but if they do trade him for another Kyle Harrison, then you're like, you can't spin it where Devers and Duran are gone and you're still in it.
Well, right.
For this year.
It's hard to defend that they're not waving the white towel on the season if they subtract Devers and Duran off the same team.
Depending
on the Duran return, because Duran, there's no financial savings there. That would be getting rid of a guy who, let's face it, you know, yesterday it boiled over on him, as it has a couple of different times.
He's running a little hot.
Hollering at the umpire for his own mistake. I mean, he's probably just mad at himself for oversliding second base.
He's got to be frustrated at his season, too.
That's true.
Like, he has not been the same player as he was a year ago. For whatever the different reasons are, he has been incredibly average, if not below average. Whereas last year, he was truly a top 10 player in the American League. At this time last year, pretty much he was finding out he was going to be in the All-Star game, was the All-Star game MVP, and he's not even going to sniff the All-Star game this year.
And I think people sleep on his 2023. He had a good 2023 before he got hurt. So, and you can hold the injuries against him if you want. That's fine. But he was hitting in the games he was playing in 2023.
Right.
And this year, he looks nothing like the same player, on top of the defensive miscues, the outs on the base paths, at least in yesterday's game, and getting thrown out of another game. Cora gets thrown out of it as well. So to me, again, you take two out of three from the Angels. You won two out of your three series. You had a winning road trip. That would now be the bare minimum, the bar that they need to clear.
And you have Crochet for one of them.
Yeah.
Yep. Not to put pressure on him where he has to win every single start, but they're kind of in that spot where they need to win every one of his starts.
You got Bueller in another one. So
Bueller's going to get rocked.
There's one win, there's one loss, and then it comes down to the rubber game.
Dobbins.
And so, no, not Dobbins.
Oh, it's not?
No, he's hurt.
Oh.
It's Fitz.
Oh, it's Fitz.
There we go.
Fitz.
Yeah. I don't know that I feel great about anything.
No, I don't care for that.
But that's what they need to do. Because if they lose another series to the Angels and they have a losing road trip, their longest trip of the year out west, that's not where I want them pointing, or pointed, rather, after the Devers trade.
Yeah, because then you're getting right down to it. I mean, the All-Star break is whatever it is after the 13th, so we're less than a month away from that. That's another time to sort of look back and like reassess the first half of the season. So during the next two games, they'll hit the official halfway point. They'll be at 81 games.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be 41-40, or are they going to be 40-41?
I mean, I'm hoping not the second one, but if I had to bet, it might be the second one. The way they're going. So, no, the whole weekend to me was very interesting, and I want to get into Devers and how he carried himself in a moment.
Yeah.
But right now the Giants are 3-3 with Devers. He's hitting .217 with one home run. His home run was in a win on Saturday.
All right.
The Red Sox are 3-3 without Devers. And now, they're not hitting at all. Ironically, they hit yesterday and lost. But neither team has gotten a big boost or drop-off from this trade yet, but it's early. It's only six games. So we'll continue to monitor it and see where it goes. It's not like Devers has gone there and crushed. It's not like the Giants have taken off since they got Devers.
Sox have averaged over three runs a game without him.
And same thing with the Red Sox, as you just said. Yeah. They're not scoring. The offense wasn't good for most of June, even with Devers.
True.
But it's arguably gotten worse without Devers in the last few games.
They're hitting 197. I think Turp had it up earlier that they're hitting 197 since the trade, worse than baseball.
But yesterday's a game they should have won based on their offense and based on the little that Giolito gave you. If the bullpen doesn't implode and if Romy Gonzalez can catch a liner at second base, that's a game I'd argue you should have won, at least in the offense they supplied.
The worst second base defense in the league.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I'd say it's got to be. Yeah.
Got to be last.
Yeah.
They've had the worst production and defense from second base in baseball, I think, all year.
Yeah, overall. Yeah, it's a bit of a black hole, yeah.
Maybe get a second baseman.
Maybe
this team needs a two-bagger.
Maybe go get a second baseman.
What's Vaughn Grissom doing?
He had a home run the other night.
So, there you go. So to me, like, we need obviously more data on the Devers trade. I would look at it and say there's sides you can point to on both of it and say, you know, the Red Sox are better off without Devers. It's not like he's making a big impact. However, the Giants take 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox in that series. We'll continue to watch it back and forth. The thing that, again, bothers me when it comes to Devers is kind of how he carried himself this weekend. You mentioned the comments that he had where, oh, I couldn't remember the last time I was this happy.
You're like, what?
As a ball player, which to me is odd.
So he was sad last year?
I guess.
Like, why?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's been a long time since the Red Sox have been good. People act like they've been a playoff team the last few years with Devers, and he's been slugging them into the playoffs.
But they were, we know how last season ended, but, you know, you and I rewatched watched the clubhouse for the first time to sort of relive that season, which was a forgettable season, but they were in it longer than it.
Yeah.
Than they really were. So, yeah. Like, you were miserable then when you were surprising teams and playing pretty well. Like, you were miserable.
Well, remember, last year he was whining about not adding any talent. And then this year they added talent and he whined about that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, maybe he's just a miserable person.
Some people just don't like to be happy.
Some people are just miserable, Keith. I get accused of that quite often. but this bothered me. Devers, who, as we came to learn, didn't want to do media, didn't do media. The team didn't ask him to do media. And he specifically didn't do walk-off interviews, is something that he didn't do.
Right.
Well, lo and behold, here, not after a walk-off win, but after a game where he homered against his former team, he was on NBC Bay Area. And here's how that little post-game exchange went with Rafael Devers. You're going to hear him getting Gatorade dumped all over him in the middle of the interview. Here's that.
Lo dije ayer, no tengo que cambiar nada. El tipo de bateador que soy y está frío y sé lo que puedo hacer en play.
No, like I said in the press conference, I know the type of player I am. I don't have to change anything. I have the power to all fields. So there is nothing that I'm going to need to change here.
Okay, so I'll repeat what I said earlier, Keith. I don't really care that he didn't do media. I'm sure his teammates care because if he's not talking, somebody else has to. But that doesn't really personally bother me. How much did you hear me ripping Devers for not doing media when he was here? So that doesn't really bother me.
Mm-hmm.
What bothers me is you handle it one way for nine years in Boston, parts of 9 seasons in Boston, and you don't do a lot of media. You specifically don't want to do this type of media, walk-off interviews, things like that. And then you get to the Giants, and you're talking about how miserable you were in Boston, and you're getting Gatorade dumped on you, and you're acting like this fun-loving guy who just is so happy to be with the Giants. And, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do your interview, and I can't wait to do that interview as well. And, oh, sure, you want me after the game? Sure, I'll sit down and do that interview. Hey, get the translator. Let's do it.
Uh-huh.
What bothers me is how fraudulent the whole thing is, and I think it's pretty transparent. He's trying to ingratiate himself with a new fan base and a new organization. And that's what bothered me about the way he carried himself.
Yeah, well, it was consistent with how he started his time with the Giants. When he got announced and they had the press conference with Buster Posey and everybody, and he's like, I'll play wherever you want me to play. And you're like, wait, what? Like, that was your whole biggest issue here. And now you'll play anywhere you want them or anywhere that they want you to play. So then just sort of take that, and then a few days later, he's doing walk-off interviews and he's talking about how happy he is. I mean, it's the honeymoon period, I guess. It's sort of like, hey, Red Sox, these guys are doing it so much better than you were doing it. It's going to wear off. He's not going to be happy the whole time there.
Well, that's what I think. I mean, I allow for he's self-reflecting and going, hey, I didn't handle it the best in Boston.
No,
I'm going to be a different man. I'll allow for it.
Yeah, I don't think
but
so.
But if you're asking me to predict it, he'll go right back to being a miserable, grumpy, selfish teammate.
Because at some point.
And this is all an act, which just I just found annoying all weekend.
Well, yeah, because then at some point everybody's going to stop and be like, wait a minute. We're paying this guy $300 million to pout and like not be around and be a bad teammate and like whatever it is. He's not as good as we thought he was.
He still hasn't gone into the field, by the way. He can say I'm going to play wherever all he wants. He still hasn't done it. So let's see if and when he does that.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I mean, I think the return is still like a sticking point and is hard to defend right now. But just moving on from Devers is and was the right call.
I mean,
I feel like this weekend kind of even with the dinger on Saturday and then winning that game, like I still think you're going to be all right as long as you can find a way to replace him somewhat production wise, Because like in the locker room, I think the team is probably thrilled. They're relieved that he's gone.
Well, I think that came through very clearly in the aftermath of the trade. And I don't want to play the game where it's like, hey, you got we didn't make any moves at the trade deadline, but we have this guy and that guy coming back from injury.
Yeah,
they do have a lot of different ways to replace the production of Devers. Bregman coming back would replace that production. Now, you could have had both, and yeah. So I don't want to, again, make it sound like it's a massive upgrade, but that's a way to replace his production.
Well,
Meyer and Anthony would also be ways to do it.
You know who's hitting over 100
if they
now.
Ever want to start hitting, although, fair, Keith, Roman Anthony has nudged into the triple digits there with his batting average.
He's hitting 111.
He was hitting 74 last week. He's up to 111
now? He's up to 111.
Nice. So if those guys want to start hitting, there are very obvious ways internally to replace Devers.
Unfortunately, our guy Meyer now below 200. He's dipped below. He's given some of that points to Anthony.
Yeah.
How it turns out.
They're only allowed so many batting average points between the
two
of them.
You guys can combine for 205.
It's like the Morris Twins bank account. They there's only so much money in there. They share it.
That's it.
And that's what they do with batting average points between those two. Did you feel robbed at all that Devers didn't play the field this weekend? I kind of thought we were going
to
get that.
I thought we might. I thought if you really wanted to kind of like show them up a little bit, but maybe the Giants were like, we're also trying to win these games, and if he's not ready to go at all there, and if they're going to play him at a new position, it's not even like you're trotting him back out of third. It's like a brand new position. We've seen firsthand that not everybody can do it. You know, the Red Sox, whether it was like Franchy Cordero or Kyle Schwarber or whatever, it's not just grab a glove and go over there. So maybe they thought, let's kind of wait on this. And it's really like the risk-reward, right? Like, you're kind of showing up the Red Sox by doing it, but if you boot two balls, you're not exactly, showing them anything.
Well, so it's an interesting point. Like, were the Giants the ones who said, hey, let's pump the brakes on this?
I think they're like, let's do this another time.
I mean, I wouldn't rule out that, again, he's just telling them what they want to hear. Like, hey, I'll play wherever. And now we're six games
in. He's like, I'm not ready.
He still hasn't played anywhere, and he's still just an everyday DH. Like,
that's possible.
I wouldn't entirely rule that out. But we'll see where it goes. You guys can discuss 617-779-7937. Jaren Duran could be the next piece that's on the move. Whoa, brutal game yesterday.
Yes.
Got kicked out, made an error in the field, got thrown out on the bases in a key spot. Is he a guy the Red Sox should be building around? Is he a guy who can replicate any of the production he had the year and a half prior coming into this one? Again, it's 617-779-7937. Plus, David Ortiz doing a little too much this weekend.
Take a break.
In defending the trade. And we're defenders of the trade.
Yeah, not like him, though.
I'm happy Devers isn't here.
Not as happy as Ortiz.
But neither of us are willing to go quite that far.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Unless things change significantly, this deadline is going to be kind of boring, or at very least not have a whole lot of guys who, when you hear their names, like even the casual fan's going to know them. If you just look at the impending free agents this offseason, almost all of the really good ones play for contenders. So then you're going to be looking for guys who have team control, you know, guys who have had 2 or 3 years in the big leagues. And those are the ones who every one of them is going to ask for: Myers, Campbell, Anthony, Garcia, Franklin Arias, the guys who the Red Sox just don't want to trade. So how they match up trying to add at the deadline is going to be super interesting to me. And I'm not going to judge the Red Sox based on how aggressive they are at this deadline. But I will say, there will be some judgment in place for how they operate this winter.
Jeff Passan on Friday with Arcan. If you missed any of that, you can check it out. Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. A lot in there, I thought. Number one, he expects a quiet deadline because most of the impending free agents aren't big household names, so you got to start looking at guys with term, which is going to cost more, blah, blah, blah.
Better not be too quiet for the Red Sox.
Well, I agree with you on this. If they go out and sign Kyle Tucker, or they go out and sign
Pete Alonso.
Thank you. Alonso's the other name I was trying to come up with. Then, great. Retroactively, I'll look at it and go, okay, they got rid of Devers' money. They retooled the money on another big-ticket guy. I don't really think they're going to do that, by the way. I'm not holding my breath that they're going to do that. And the thing I hate the most about the Devers trade, and I'm mostly on board with it, is John Henry saving money and lowering payroll. Like, that's the thing I find most detestable about it. But they better do something at the deadline. Like, when Passan says, hey, I'm not going to judge him at the deadline, I will.
Yeah, of course.
They better be adding to this team, and that doesn't mean you replace all of Devers' salary. I'm not under the guise that they're going to do that. But they better go out and add at this deadline and try to make a playoff run. Get pitching help. Get bullpen help. Get yourself a right-handed bat who hopefully can also mix in at first base. I'm definitely going to judge him on the trade deadline.
Yeah, that makes no sense. If you want to say you don't want to judge him now, yeah, all right, we kind of have to because it's what's just took place. But if you want
to
say that,
you want to overreact your reasoning, games? Sure.
And you want to say, well, maybe the players they add freeing up some of this money doesn't come until later on. Maybe some of these teams are waiting a little bit longer. You'd mentioned earlier how, you know, with all the playoff teams, almost everybody's in it. So maybe some of these fringe teams want a couple more weeks or whatever. Like, you wait, and then by July 31st, that's where you get another second baseman, starting pitcher, right-handed bat, whatever it might be. If you don't do any of that, you're wasting another season. This is a season you're right there.
You're a half game out of the number three wild card spot. You were in playoff position over the weekend.
And Chaim Bloom basically got fired because of you were in it at these deadlines, you bungled the deadlines, you didn't really choose a direction, and then you missed the playoffs. So if Craig Breslow trades Devers, because he was basically told he had to trade Devers, does that, but doesn't do anything else major to the team or really to impact the team's wins and losses, and they end up missing the playoffs, what's the difference of having Chaim Bloom back? Like, it's the same kind of crap. So I absolutely will be judging them based on what they do over the next 5 weeks.
Same. And I hope their next move isn't to trade Duran in a vacuum. Like, tell me what the return is.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
Tell me how it fits together, and then maybe I can be talked into that one. But in a vacuum, I don't want them trading Duran, even though he's been wildly disappointing this year. I believe in him the last two seasons as a full-time player, 23 rather, and 24. Were really good years. He was hurt in 23, but he was an MVP candidate last year. So I don't really want them to trade him, but I'd acknowledge he's been underwhelming this year. And as you said, Keith, he'd probably get you a better return than Devers because he's so cheap and he's under team control and he doesn't have a contract worth $313.5 million. You'd probably get a lot more for Duran. But that whole approach, like, hey, we're in the playoffs, but we're going to trade Devers and Duran, I'd have trouble getting on board with that. But you're closer to being okay with it.
I'd be okay with it, but I'm with you. You can't have just two salary. Or, I mean, in the case of Devers, what ends up being more of a salary move. In the case of Duran, I guess you're thinking, all right, now we kind of square away our outfield. Like, are you just trading Duran so Roman Anthony, Seidon Rafael, and Willy Abreu can start every day without anybody else out there? Like, that's not the best reason to do that. He should get more of a return for him because you also should have more teams bidding on him. Not every team is willing to take $30 million a year for Devers.
Correct.
Every team in the league, any good team, I would think, would want Jaron Duran, bring him in, and you know, you have a decision to make. You don't have to commit any money to him. I mean, you pay him whatever he's entitled to now for the next couple of years, and then maybe he shows that he's more like he was last year, and you sign him. Or he shows what he is now, and all right, you at least took a shot at it. But we'll see. And the fact that a lot of people are talking about, there's a lot of smoke around now with Jaron Duran trade.
And one of the things we were reading into earlier today, Carrabas was in the mentions anyway out there.
Oh, my God. He can't stand the guy now.
Go to Carrabas' timeline and go to his mentions. And Carrabas, he wouldn't take this as a shot. I mean, he prides himself on being a Red Sox fan first, and he's been very supportive of Jaron Duran, and now he's basically like, well, I'm not supporting that guy anymore. I'm done with him.
Yeah.
And so, whatever.
Something happened there.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there did. And if it's just a personal thing between the two of them, whatever. What I'm curious about is if it goes higher than that, and Carrabas kind of knows Duran's on the outs with the organization, and that's why he's ready to now start flaming him. That's what I wonder.
Who's more steaming? This is going to be a new segment.
More steaming.
Who's more steaming?
Okay.
Is it David Ortiz at Rafael Devers, or is it Jared Carrabas at Jaron Duran?
Close. It's actually Carrabas at Duran.
Yeah, he's steaming.
Devers, Ortiz might be being pushed to be all fired up about Rafael Devers.
There might be some actual compensation.
Karabas, well, you know what? Maybe Karabas is actually getting pushed to do it as well. But I wonder if Duran's days are numbered in Boston.
Though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Devers Ortiz waited until Devers was gone to really kind of badmouth him. Right now, like, he's already saying he's done. Normally, a lot of fans are done with players, but the team's also done with them.
No, that's fair.
But in this case, Duran's still out there.
That's fair. Karabas isn't ripping him now that he's gone. He's ripping him before he's gone, Ortiz is just ripping Devers once he's gone.
Right.
Which is, again, why I think when people say we're just doing the bidding of ownership, we were ripping Devers quite a bit while he was here.
I think since February.
I don't think we were just ripping Devers on his way out the door, but you see it however you see it.
Yeah.
Our buddy Justin in D.C. in the Twitch chat is also saying that we have no founded takes that they're going to go out and make big runs at players in free agency. I don't think they're going to. I don't think they're going to be in on Tucker. I don't think they're going to be in on Alonzo. I hope they're in on both. I'd love to be wrong about that. All I said is I think they're going to make moves at this deadline.
Yeah, but they did.
And if that means Castillo or one of the Seattle pitchers, I mentioned Edward Cabrera. I was talking names like Taylor Ward and Eugenio Suarez. Like, I'm not talking about big ticket guys.
But also, I mean, they did sign Bregman and trade for Crochet. And if that makes me sound like a team honk,
it's
like
possible.
Those are guys that they brought in. Now, I know that wasn't a $700 million deal, but that was more than it was the previous 5 years or whatever.
Would you bet on it, though? Like it's possible. I acknowledge they could sign Kyle Tucker. They could. But would I bet on it? No.
No, probably not. It'd probably be more of the three or four guys in like the Chapman type ilk where you're like, all right, you get shorter deals, maybe even like older players, but the guys that can help you. I mean, Chapman's way better than I thought he was going to be.
Way better.
So if you got like the Chapman version of second base or even first base, you probably need first baseman, let's be honest. If you get like somebody like that, then that guy could help you. Like, even going back to some of these other moves, like the team kind of needs the Tyler O'Neill, Hunter Renfro, Adam Duvall, Justin Turner, these guys that were like seemingly a dime a dozen, but they're all really good here.
A right-handed bat with some pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those guys were good.
Yeah.
20, 30 home runs. They don't have that. And that would be a big – and if that guy can play first base, even better.
We are also getting flack in the Twitch chat for saying we'd want Pete Alonso, but also called Devers fat. Look, Alonso's not the thinnest. He's not – first of all, he still plays in the field.
Yeah.
Unlike Devers. We'll see if Devers ultimately gets in some games in the field for the Giants.
Him being chunky was honestly for me, I mean, maybe you could pull tape on me ripping him. I was like way lower on my list of complaints with Devers than a lot of other things.
It's on my list of complaints. I think it's on the Red Sox list of complaints, but I think one of the areas why the Red Sox thought, this came out in Passan's reporting, why they didn't think it was a big deal to ask him to move positions, move to DH full-time at first, and then when guys got hurt, ask him to play the field again, is because they never demanded he was in shape, and he was never in shape. They never demanded that he did the media obligations. They never demanded that he was a team leader. I mean, they hardly ever demanded that, or even demanded that he was out there for like charitable endeavors.
That's the first time
for the organization.
This is the first time they asked him to literally do anything.
Right, and so I think they felt like it was a minor ask to sacrifice his position on the field, especially when he's terrible at it. He obviously disagreed because he doesn't want to be asked to do anything.
Unless you're the Giants.
But look, Alonso's not in the greatest shape. I'll acknowledge that. He's in 10 times better shape than Devers.
Yes. Yeah. He's been super productive this year.
If you want to look it up, and I have, he's been a better player than Devers in their careers. More productive player. Two top 10 MVP seasons where he's gotten top 10 MVP votes. He has more home runs. He has, and that's in fewer seasons in the big leagues.
Better nickname.
Higher OPS. Better nickname.
Yeah.
He also, I believe, and again, he's played 7 years in the bigs. He's older than Devers. He's played 7 years in the bigs. Devers has played parts of nine. He's only like 50 RBIs behind Devers. So there's a real case to make. He's been a better player than Devers.
Yeah, this could be, we'll see how the season goes. This could be his fourth 40 home run season. Devers has zero of those.
Devers only has, what, 330 homer seasons.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So, yeah.
Alonso had 53 his rookie year.
It goes back to, Devers is not a bad player, but he is overrated here.
Yeah.
And he's certainly not a generational player.
No.
Text line, 617-779-7937. Guys, it's insane that Duran has had a down year and everyone wants to ship him off. I wouldn't say everyone. But
no,
Keith is moving
everybody.
Closer to
I'm
it.
Closer to it. I was a big no, but like,
plus the value is down. What are you going to get for him? Nothing of significance. That I disagree with. If you traded, Duran, The Athletic came out today. They had their top 30 targets at the deadline. Duran was number one. So I bet you'd get a lot for Duran.
I do too. I mean, again, his contract is nothing. Like, he's not due for a raise in a few years. So you have team control for a while. You have plenty of time to make your decision on it. And in the meantime, you're paying a guy, he is having a down year, but he was just an all-star a year ago. Let's see, first year of free agency, eligible free agency, 2029.
Yeah.
It's like, you have him for a long time. He's making like $8 million this year.
Let's go to the phones. Doug is in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Doug.
Oh, no, less, $8 million next year. Go ahead. Sorry, Doug.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Can you hear me? Good.
Yeah, you sound great.
thanks. So, couldn't the Red Sox have skipped all this drama if at the beginning of spring training they just kept Devers at third and put Bregman at second? And then you got Costas at first, and Costas went down. You could have switched Bregman to first.
Yeah, but now, so Doug, they could have, but now you have Bregman at first and Devers at third. And Bregman's bat maybe plays at first, maybe not. And Devers is still out there butchering balls left and right at third base. So, like,
you know, you made your infield defense a lot better getting Devers out of there.
Yeah, you could have kept bad teammate,
yeah,
Rafi Devers, happy by leaving him at third. But what's best for the team? I think moving him was best for the team. And then when guys got hurt,
yeah,
asking him to pick up a glove and play first or third would have been best for the team. But Devers didn't want to help the team.
I'm not taking
Devers wanted to help himself.
I'm not taking the gold glove third baseman that you just picked up and then having him play second and then having him play first. Like, Devers out of there in the field, I think, was the right call. And then how he reacts to it, like, okay. Because at some point this was going to happen.
He was going to have to move, yeah.
You had to get him off third. This has been a conversation for years. Even despite his age, he has always been bad in the field. So this has always been brought up. Even right before he signed the contract, the year he signed the contract, after was, all right, how much longer is he going to do this? Not everybody plays the same position forever. And so I wouldn't have done that. But I guess to answer his question, yeah, you could have avoided it. Devers could still be on the team playing third. Bregman could be ping-ponging around. And, you know, Christian Campbell could be ping-ponging around. But would your team be better for that? I don't think so.
I mean, they had Devers at third the last 3 years. They were a 500 team and a last-place team in reverse order. So, I don't know. You can play him at third. You haven't been a very good team with him at third. He doesn't realize that. Like, that, he still doesn't get that him playing at third every day, he's happy hitting his 30 home runs some years and not other years. And, you know, never being a top 10 MVP candidate and making the all-star team sometimes but not others and being a last-place team, he's fine with that. He's fine with that existence, and he still hasn't connected the two dots on maybe the team was underachieving because he was dragging them down with his horrible defense at third base and his overrated offense. 617-779-7937. You could jump in here. I want to get to John Henry. More clarity on his role in the trade came out from Jeff Passan over the weekend. We'll do that next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I think when they were in Kansas City and John Henry flew in and Sam Kennedy flew in and Craig Breslow flew in, and you know that the three of them are they're not going to fly in if they don't think that they can convince him to do something. They're not going to waste their time if they feel like he's a lost cause. And they sat down with him, and I reported today John Henry met with him for breakfast the next day too. And over the courses of those conversations, that's when it's cemented in their minds that if this guy is not willing to do this, then we don't want him around.
So I think we could have guessed a lot of that and did guess a lot of that from just the timeline leading up to the trade. Henry getting on a flight to Kansas City, leaving, and Rafael Devers still not going into the field to me was shocking when it happened, and it was very telling. Coming out of that series, which the Red Sox actually won. But the reporting there from Jeff Passan isn't just that Henry flew out and met with him. He met with him, went to bed. They met again the next day for breakfast.
Hey, like, why don't you sleep on it?
Let's take sleep exactly. On it. Sleep on it. Let us know how it goes. Let's meet with him a second time.
Like, I'm not moving.
And he still said no to the guy who writes his checks.
Correct.
Like that is, I mean, it just tells you how insubordinate and how dug in he was on this.
Yeah, he wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't going to change. And so that we wonder if anything was going to happen after the fact, because weeks went by and he wasn't playing first base, like in games, nor even just taking grounders over first base. Then there was a few of those. There's like, well, he's taking grounders at short.
Yeah, he's
like,
joking around,
an-hole,
being a horse's ass at shortstop.
You're like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
But then clearly John Henry said to Breslow, like, all right, this guy's not going to do it. We're going to trade him. And maybe that's even how they ended the breakfast. I don't know. I don't know like how how much of a confrontation there was. But could it have been as simple as like, all right, like you're going to do this or we're going to have to find another place for you to play. And he's probably thinking like, all right, go ahead. Like maybe called their bluff or even was looking forward to it. Who knows? Maybe he was completely done with it. By the way, he's acting in San Francisco. Maybe he was completely done with it. But they ended up finding a trade. And now the return is what we're left with and pick apart and everything else and where this team goes from here. But yeah, of all things, you know, the way the season started, the expectations, the team wasn't very good. That's another one. Let's say they were 10 games over 500. Same stuff going on. They same exact stuff.
They wouldn't move him.
They'd keep him.
That's what I think. Yeah,
you might be right. Because that's a tough sell. Although, probably a surprise to them, the next day they were in the playoffs.
No,
the day after they traded
like,
them,
look,
they were a playoff team.
If Devers was being a crummy teammate, but they're winning games, it's pretty easy to look the other way and go, well, yeah, but the team's playing well, and how much is it really impacting the team? When they're underachieving, yet again, and they've been a last place 500 team at best for the last 4 years, then I think it's a little easier to move him. And so I've never thought it's purely a salary dump. I think they were done with Raffy and done with underachieving and done with the team generally stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
But once they decided to move him, clearly getting rid of the full salary was John Henry's main objective, which is why there was one taker. And even when you read from Passan and others, Buster Olney going back to last week, the people praising the trade, they're all praising the finances. And
it's just like other GMs and stuff who also really care about that.
Well,
whereas as a fan, you're like, we're already paying the most the highest ticket price.
They're really ripping the original contract. Nobody in baseball really thought that was a good deal for Devers. In fact, Passan reports they didn't want to sign it. They were kind of bullied into something. Bloom didn't want to sign it. Breslow never really liked it. He wasn't here when they signed it. Ownership, and I think we all felt this in real time, ownership overreacted to the blowback from Bogarts, and they said, fine, let's pay this guy so the fan base doesn't totally turn on
See, this is where I don't understand, because you hear like the same people, a lot of the national people, they'll refer to Devers as sort of like a generational talent or hitter, but then also like a horrible contract. It's like, how can both of these things be true? Because the guy is still pretty young, and even if you don't think he's going to be good for every single year of the deal, I don't think most people think any of these guys that sign the 12-year deals are going to be good for all 12 years. But like Xander Bogaerts, he signed that deal. The second he signed it, you're like, wow, what an overspend.
And
he's been bad since.
And they were right. Say what you want about the Red Sox. They lowballed him and they didn't negotiate with him. And it's honestly very much like John Lester. But they were right to, once he hit free agency, they were right to balk at paying him.
But I don't get the Devers like discussion around it from everybody. Because if he really is 31-20 every year for the next four, let's call it, that's still a bad contract. Like, I don't know. In this case, I don't know how they both can be true.
Well, I bet a lot of people in baseball don't feel like he's going to keep going 31-20 as he ages.
So there you go. So maybe that's what it is.
Because when you're overweight and you don't help out in the field at all, I'd imagine that's the kind of player that doesn't age very well.
But contracts are going up, and I feel like at one point, $30 million a year for a DH would have been crazy. But I don't know. I think we're kind of past that. Like, if you have a guy that can at least have that production, like, if he's steady at that production, that's probably worth it when you see some of the other contracts that are being handed out.
Text line, smear campaign is gross. I don't think it's a smear campaign from us, but the David Ortiz stuff is a little gross.
Too much.
It's too much.
David, we don't need it.
When David came out initially and said, I tried to reach out to him, he didn't respond, I never heard back, that was enough. I think
David
that was
Ortiz.
And I believed him.
Me too. I definitely believe him. But just because you're telling the truth doesn't mean it's not a smear campaign. Like, I think Breslow's getting smeared right now by Cora or Bloom people who were fired when he did his audit or whatever. Like, I think Breslow's getting smeared as well, but it doesn't make it untrue. It just means people were waiting for the right time to get their info out. I'm sure Devers wasn't communicating with Ortiz and he blew him off and had him on mute. Ortiz didn't say, this is a smear campaign, Ortiz didn't say any of that when Devers was employed by the Red Sox.
Right.
He only volunteered it the second he was gone. So that to me is,
in fact,
the most odious thing going on with all of this.
He talked out of both sides of his mouth when he was on the team and they were asking him if he should play first base.
He did.
And he was like, defend Devers, defend Devers, defend Devers. Then he was like, but I would have done it.
But I would have done
it.
Yeah.
But then Pedro called out Ortiz, and then so some of this might also be Ortiz kind of calling out,
clapping back,
or just like proving it to Pedro. But it's like, you got Pedro's number, like but he's making it all very public, this whole thing. And it's, even if you're on his side, you're like, all right, like we got it, because that's the other thing. A lot of people are like, oh, Devers is getting smeared or whatever. There's been a lot written over the last 2 weeks, a lot said on like radio or podcasts about everything going on. Does Devers, Cora, Breslow, or Henry look good? What makes those guys look good?
Well, I don't think anybody looks good, but you know who comes out of it looking the best?
No. Who?
Cora, to me, comes out of it looking the best.
But if you're paying attention, he's had maybe the worst season of the four.
But go read Junely, go read Buster Olney, go read Passan. Who comes out of it with the least egg on their face? Cora.
Okay.
Which probably tells you a lot about the sourcing. Tells you a lot about where the stories are coming from, to me.
True, but there's a lot of like, well, Devers couldn't be fixed, and it's like, well, whose fault is that?
No, and even Passan put that on him with Arkin the other night. But that's about the only thing that's sticking to Cora, and that's unavoidable. Like, you gotta be the manager
Breslow
who handles
and Henry
personalities.
Don't look good in any of this.
No, definitely not.
That's what's
No, and add Ortiz to the list, who took to social media and called the Red Sox the best organization in baseball, and also said you got to be a full package of a player, go Sox, when Ortiz was a full time DH.
Well, hashtag go Sox.
So I mean, that didn't really make a lot of sense to me. Roberts in Springfield. Go ahead, Robert.
I just have a couple quick points, guys. I keep hearing people call in, oh, why wouldn't you leave Devers at third base? Guys, he sucks at third base.
True.
Stop calling in saying that, keep him at third base. Well, why would you do that knowing that he's the worst third baseman in the league? I have a quick question, guys. In the trade deadline, well, would you guys rather get an arm or a hitter? In my opinion, I would want a pitcher.
Okay, well, I think I would have answered
that now.
I think I would have answered pitcher. And this lack of hitting started even when Devers was here. They were winning a bunch of games with Devers here, and Devers wasn't hitting. The whole offense wasn't going in the month of June. My answer might swing around to a right-handed bat. And, oh, now you need a bat now that Devers is gone? You need a bat that also...
You need a lefty bat, too, because it's David Hamilton now.
Well, no, you need a righty bat. Yeah, you have plenty of lefties on this team.
Yeah.
And so, to me, right-handed bat maybe rocketing
Although
to the top of the list.
It depends.
They need pitching help because...
I would take the best bat available, to be honest, because, well, we'll see what happens with Duran. But you started the year with Duran, Devers, and Casas all hitting in the top four of your lineup. Those are three lefties that potentially could all be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them are gone. So, like, best bat available... I will take. They've had too many games where they just aren't scoring runs at all. I think yesterday, not an example of it, but overall the bullpen has been pretty good. The starters, I mean, yeah, I would like to upgrade Walker Buehler, for example, or Dobbins, but I think you're probably locked in. I mean, you have your Haas, but then you also have...
It's been arrow up in June for the pitching.
Right. Giolito's had a few good ones. Bayo's had a few good ones. So I think the bat is the answer.
My real answer is you should be able to get both.
Yeah, right.
And I disagree with Passan on this. Passan said he's not going to react to their trade deadline or overreact one way or the other. They need to make moves. They need to add. So my real answer is both, but prioritizing one, and maybe I'm overreacting to the last couple of weeks, I would prioritize a righty stick. 617-779-7937. You guys can jump in here on Jones and Keith. We'll start mixing back in some basketball thoughts. That includes Game 7, NBA Finals, new champion, and maybe a new dynasty in the NBA, plus Kevin Durant on the move. How does that shake up the NBA landscape? We'll get to all of it next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.